This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, here we go on a Tuesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you here. In about 30 minutes, we'll talk some NFL draft with Matt Miller, ESPN draft analyst, also insider. Of course, he's got ties to the KC area as well, so it'll be good to get his perspective on a couple of the local products. But obviously, hey, is there enough depth and talent at tackle in the draft for them to actually find a day one starter, whether it's at 31 or even if they trade up 10 spots. So we'll get that from someone that is locked in. Not only was he in Indy, he goes to some of these pro days. I think he was at the Senior Bowl. He's about as good as it gets when it comes to analyzing the draft. So looking forward to Matt Miller joining us in just a bit. Don't forget also, 30 minutes from now, the Kansas Lottery throwing heaters with the Fiery Hot Sevens contest in celebration of the boys in blue return to spring training. Be listening every day at 10:30 right here on Cody and Gold. And you can win that $30 instant scratch ticket from the Kansas Lottery. And one grand prize winner will win an autographed Bobby Witt Jr. jersey plus framing, all thanks to our friends at the Kansas Lottery. So that's coming up in 30 minutes or so. And you guys can always hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Talk to you guys in 30 minutes for a chance to do that. We did caller number 7 yesterday, Bobby Wood Jr. jersey.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Frame jerseys are cool and easy to display, and it's expensive to frame a jersey, so
like $400 or more.
Yeah, depending on the, you know, depending. It very well could be. So excited for another day, other than I'm dreading, I guess, a blizzard tonight in March and 70 mile per hour winds. And you already know that I've had two trees fall through my fence before.
Is there any
so
left?
Now I'm worried. Yeah, there's like tons left, dude. Yeah. I have like five more trees in my yard. Are you kidding? One, two, three. I have like maybe more than that. It might be like 6 or 7 trees in my yard and several behind my fence that belong to the property behind. I'm screwed.
You're just going to hope that you have some better luck. You got to have some better luck because
and then it falls the other way this time.
Or doesn't. I mean, just look, if there's a very good chance, hopefully nobody, you know, has to do, but somebody listening or whatever is going to have loser power. Sounds like somebody's going to have a tree go down. Like, we don't know. You don't know who it is. You hope it's not you, right?
Tree goes through my fence tomorrow. I will not be at work. I'll be dealing with that nonsense again.
It's weird. We're going to get, you know, four seasons in the next like 24 hours or so. And yeah, the 2 inches of snow, maybe, but a blizzard still, because it's going to be 70 mile per hour wind. So it's going to be kind of crazy, kind of be a weird night and maybe a dangerous one in Kansas City as well. But let's start with some baseball, where they're out in beautiful Surprise, Arizona, where the weather's not a problem or anything like that. And we were talking about some of the pieces that, you know, you can count on, that there's no questions at all heading into the season. Names like Bobby Wood Jr., names like, you know, Vinny Pasquantino, Salvador Perez, and Salvi in particular. I was trying to look at, you know, someone like Yadier Molina for this a little bit too, because everybody now, as we get towards the end of somebody's career, the same way we did in due for Travis Kelce, like, yeah, hey, how many more years left? How many more years do you have left, Salvador Perez? Last year makes you think he's got a lot left because he put together his best year in 3 years.
Correct.
So how much longer do you guys think he has?
I guess the biggest question for this is like, and you and I have always kind of assumed that Salvador Perez would never want to play for anybody else. The hang up in like where I would just say like, well, Salvi's probably just playing another like 4 years, 3 years, 5 years, right? Because the reason why I'm like hesitant, I would say, to just be like, well, the normal amount based on his age and how Major League Baseball players work and catchers typically work, I don't know, a couple of years, right, is probably the number. Like, I think it has to relate to the production end slipping significantly, because the one thing I'll say about Salvi is there is no indication that man ever wants to stop playing baseball. He feels like he wants to be drug off of the diamond. before he is done playing baseball. And it seems like the Royals and Salvador Perez, based on that last contract, have come to this mutual understanding of you're not leaving us and we're not leaving you, at least at the moment. And so it's hard for me to imagine him leaving and playing for another team if the Royals do this. But the Royals have a lot of catching prospects. It's like so many. And I get it. One of them could just be in a part-time player, a part-time position similar to that as Freddie Freeman. Like Mitchell's coming off the injury. Carter, like they've got.
They could use him for a trade we don't even know about down the road. Who
knows? But they've got real options, like big league options that big league clubs covet and like. So either you're trading those guys away or you're riding out Salvador for a number of years. I'm going to say 3 years. I don't know why that's the number I'm stuck on, because I know they got so many other young prospects that work. You move on from one of the prospects, or you teach them the outfield, you know this works. And the other guy gets in a part-time role with him, and he gets to half-life at DH, I guess, for part of it. Because unless the production slips, 3 years? I mean, does that seem right to you?
It's not crazy. I wonder with him, you said, of course, they're like, hey, he would play this thing till he's 50 if he could, kind of thing. Yadi's who I kind of looked at as I referenced and just, okay, how long did he do it? And of course, at a very, very high level. Heck, even his second to last season, he was still an all-star. So it wasn't like he went out bad. Now, his last year, he only played in 78 games, but he was 39. His last real productive season, if we're being fair, was when he was 38 years old. And we know Yadi's a future Hall of Famer and somebody that, you know, prior to his retirement, a lot of people said, of course, that was the best catcher easily in baseball. I think that's in play. Like it would not. Now, maybe it's not all with the Royals to kind of what you're alluding to, but to me, it's not crazy to think that Salvador Perez plays till he's 38 or 39 years old. And maybe you don't want that to, I mean, you want that to be in a Royals uniform, but is the production going to be there? I mean, Yadi was able to have, even at 36, hit 270, 262, 252. And then his last season, again, 78 games and only hit 214. But he was still a positive WAR player. Let's see, what is that? Above one, even two out of his final 4 years in the league. So he wasn't like a huge, huge liability for them. I think Salvador Perez can at least make it to 37, 38.
I think what stands out about it is that it operates very similarly to the way we talk about Travis Kelce, in the sense that you might be like, well, the production slip. Well, production slip at catcher is different. Production slip, if you are Salvador Perez, is league average catcher. You can be a pretty bad, I'll just be honest, you can be a pretty bad offensive player and be a league average catcher. That's not like some offensive unit. That's why you have a distinct advantage. You have a extreme example of an offensive minded catcher. There aren't that many of those in the league. And so when you have that, it's like you can accept more of a production slip than you would normally accept under normal circumstances. I guess a lot of this is, it comes to play because I obviously think that he's one of the people who is, you know, like most likely or scares me the most, I guess is probably the way I put it, of a production slip this year because of just how good
he won the Silver Slugger Award last year, for crying out loud.
But he's only under contract, like fully under contract through 2025. The final year of his deal is a club option for $13.5 million, which is a small amount, I will admit, based on the fact he's making $20 million this year, $20 million next year. The $13.5 might be an easy pill to swallow. So let's just say he goes all the way through the club option. He plays through 2026. That'd be 36 years old. They're going to give him another 2-year deal? They're just, because at that point, then you're just accepting you're not playing any of these young catchers in your system you like. And they got a lot of choices. Even some of the guys in A-ball who would be coming up around that time. They are deeper at that position than pretty much any other position in their entire system. And I'm not saying like Salvi's getting in their way, because the odds of them being as good as Salvi aren't likely, right?
And like, so many things happen. I mean, you know, other injuries to other players. Where's Salvador Perez health? Well, that's the one thing. Yadier Molina was able to stay healthy when he was 37, 38, and then ultimately when he retired at 39. And so that's the ultimate key with any of these guys, the same way we talked about Travis Kelce, for that matter, and whether like, hey, how is your body? What is your body telling you? And Salvador Perez, you know,
still catching. Most
knock
people
on
keep
wood.
Catching at
knock on wood. Last year was about as good as you can ever see from a catcher at that age. And so, yeah, I think the question isn't will he play till he's 38, Cody, or 39. For me, it's will he play in a Royals uniform when he's 38 or 39. Barring some major injury setback, I don't think he's retiring from baseball before the age of 37. So, like, I think
he's got to get another deal, or he's going
to stay
go play
in Kansas
with another
City
team.
But I think he'll be playing major league baseball when he's 37 and 38. Yes, I do believe that.
I mean, I'm not disagreeing.
Yeah.
This year, next year, and then because I think it's like that's what I told you, three, right? So I also think he's playing in that season, but it can't be like, I mean, he's not playing until he's 40.
No, but Yachty played till, I would argue Yachty played 1 year too many. He played till he was 39, and then that last year he only played in 70-something games and was not himself. So maybe he played 1 year too many. Okay, so that's 38-year-old season. And I know we can't, not every athlete's the same. I just hit the closest peer and comp to Salvi in recent history, of course, is Yachty. That's why.
Yeah,
I keep mentioning that.
And so, like, I guess we're going to end up viewing this thing the same way in a couple of years, which is a question I think I'd asked around Travis Kelce, and I think is fair. Because it's always fair to ask it, and you can have your different answer to it. But the same question I got asked, which is, has Salvador Perez earned the right to retire whenever the hell he wants? As in, if he says, I'm coming back, you just pay him. And look, pay if, you know, like you find a number. I'm not saying like under any circumstance.
I think the answer is yes, but there's caveats. It's okay. And do we even start seeing it this year? Is there a willingness to play more DH or play another, you know, play other position? Hey, you're not catching 140 games or whatever this year. You're 37 years old, you know, kind of thing down the road. I wonder if that would be, there would have to be some sort of concession there, I would think, if you're going to say, hey, we're still going to do this, but like, we just know you can't be a full-time catcher when he's 37.
Do you think they're putting it in on Travis Kelce this year? Do you think they're coming in here and saying like,
I think last year, I think the prior to the Rashee Rice injury, the offense, he was not going to, I mean, he ended up leading the team in targets, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
You know, he,
but they had a
that
lot
wasn't
of injuries.
But that's what I mean. Like, I don't think that was the plan. I don't think going into this year, Travis Kelce's plan that the offense is running through him. So I think organizations do that. Baseball's a little bit different. The only way you change it is by, hey, you're not going to catch every day for us kind of thing. And that's not this year. We know this year that's not going to change, I don't think.
No, I think he'll catch
2 years from now, a year from now, I think that's a real conversation.
I feel, and Cody, you'd be able to speak to this, I think, better because obviously you covered the team as the insider. The physical toll of baseball, obviously it's different, but is it more of the 162 game thing than it is the actual physical toll? I mean, of course he's, you know, in the catcher stance all the time and all of that stuff. How much can those things wear quicker than
catchers wear way faster? Like it is damaging to the body. It's honestly kind of impressive he catches this many games.
Yeah.
Like it is not like, and Gold, you know this too. It's just like, that is a position that is unkind to the body. But that's what also stands out. And this is like the difference between like a regular catcher and a Hall of Fame level catcher, like you mentioned Yachty and what we think maybe Salvador Perez will be one day, which is those guys are on the field catching. A lot of guys, Drew, what happens is what happens with some of the other great catchers you remember in your life. So you remember Pudge Rodriguez and you're like, he's a catcher. Eventually they play a lot more DH. Or they play catcher, or not catcher, they play first base, or they move them to right field if they're good at, like, they find other places to put those guys, because after a certain age, if you are a good offensive catcher, a lot of times what happens is they still love the bat, and they're interested in the bat, but they can no longer have you catch 100, and like, Salvi catches 130 games, 120 games a year sometimes, up until like a year ago. Like, it's a crazy number. Most guys transition and like catch 80, play some at first, which Salvi does.
Did Yachty ever switch that? I think that was what was amazing about. I was trying to go through and look at his positional breakdown. He played catcher. Anytime he played, he was catching. He did not eventually transition out.
Yeah. Really rare.
I think if Salvi were to match the years played and get into 37, 38, 39, which is what Yachty did, I would wonder if he would have to. Well, I mean, especially just with the roster makeup, as you pointed out, with some of the prospects. I wonder if he would have to give up some of that to maintain a role. Someone else on the text line said, hey, did Salvi, wouldn't he have already left if he wanted to leave? Look, we know they were very close. That was the whole topic heading into last season. That the big he had a heart-to-heart conversation with J.J. Piccolo over a year ago.
Well, they thought they were going to trade him.
And he obviously was convinced that they had a plan, and it worked out for everybody. And now it feels like, okay,
thank God.
The only way he would leave would be if it ever reached an age thing where it's like, hey, I want to keep playing, and they don't believe that he still has it. He's got a chance to, frankly, make that decision, too. If he continues performing anywhere near what he's doing right now, well, then it'll be an easy decision in 2 years, even if they have the prospects. If Salvador Perez is still hitting the way he just did this past season, well, then it's a no-brainer. But
then
I don't know if he's going to.
I'll just trade these guys and find somebody else. Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, he can make their decision, like you said, fairly easy in that sense, because if at no point he shows a drop-off, but that's the thing. Like, Salvi's had down years in the middle of his career. And like offensively, where like they don't look as good as they did last year. Last year's one of the better offensive years he's ever had, or he had 48 home runs, right? He certainly had years where it didn't look the same as it did last year. And then, but the problem is at this age, we're always just going to assume it's because he's done. Not because he just had a down year like big league players do, especially free swinging catchers, right? But, you know, we're just going to have to make those decisions.
Coming up again in 15 minutes, we'll talk some NFL draft with draft analyst for ESPN, Matt Miller. Get his perspective on who maybe some of the best running back fits are in the draft. Where could they see the local kid, Luther Burden, out of Mizzou go? Some drafts haven't fallen out of the first round. Does Matt Miller have that? So that's coming up in just a bit. Thinking of the Chiefs, though, this caught our attention last night, which was more backstory on why maybe the Chiefs ultimately did not bring in Donovan Smith last season. Forbes had this originally, and it's that, hey, Donovan Smith, turned out he was still recovering from a hip injury, even though on social media he acted like he was ready to go, but maybe teams clearly were concerned that he believes he had a hip injury. That's why teams didn't give him a shot. And he's healthy and he wants to play again in 2025. We all know DJ Humphreys was coming back from an injury. The Chiefs took a flyer on him. Then he got hurt in the Chargers game and he never was given another opportunity. The more I hear about these two guys, not that they're going to be starters for multiple years necessarily, maybe DJ Humphreys could. Why not just, if they both were willing to set aside their ego a little bit and say, hey, I want to play with the Chiefs. I want to have a chance to start. I'm willing to go to camp and I want to battle this out and I will win this job kind of thing. Sign Donovan Smith and DJ Humphreys and just roll with it, man. That might be too simple of a solution. Like, hey,
because you got to convince those guys to get in the gladiator ring against each other.
And look, if Donovan Smith was promised a better opportunity to start somewhere else, he's going to take that over competing with DJ Humphreys. I don't know if that exists, but if he were, that's the only way this works, is if Donovan Smith and DJ Humphreys know no matter where they go, they have to compete, that they're not handled a job. If there's nobody else doing that, then come to Kansas City and compete at St. Joe. We're sitting there, Cody, and it's DJ Humphreys and Donovan Smith battling for the starting left tackle job.
And then if one gets hurt, great. At least you got a fallback plan, or in season you got a fallback plan if one gets hurt. I think this plan, you have to convince him this way. I'll tell you, like, because I don't hate the plan, as you know. God, does this include also taking a third-round pick, which is going to, like, infinite number of tackles to try to sort this out? I mean, I don't hate that, because then eventually if you get the third-round pick right, you can walk on both. But you're going to have to tell. Donovan Smith's not getting a starting offer anywhere else. Okay, he's not. So Donovan Smith, wherever he goes, is either going to be the guaranteed backup between a guy who hasn't been hurt, or he's going to be in a competition with like a rookie who is more likely to get the job than him, in my opinion. Going up, but you got to promise DJ Humphreys he gets first crack. Like, the job is yours now.
Yours to lose kind of thing.
Yours to lose. You're in the competition, but you're the favorite in the competition, okay? We're not trying to just get, and you know, you almost borderline guarantee, you're only really losing this job if you get hurt. You stay healthy, you play DJ, you're good. You're the starting left tackle for this team. It's a competition, but like really only for like who can get to the end of training camp and not be like in a wheelchair, right? Because both of those guys have had injury problems, and both those guys are getting older. Donovan Smith, obviously older than DJ Humphreys. But it's like, I think Donovan Smith's a year or two older than DJ Humphreys.
You're saying you bring them in
Donovan Smith will turn 32 in June.
Well, it's only a year.
And DJ Humphreys, I think it's 30 or something. DJ Humphreys, he'll turn
31, I think.
He's 31 now. I don't know when his. He won't turn 30. He won't turn 32 till December. So
but I would just say, like, put him in a competition, right? DJ Humphreys, it's yours to lose. Donovan, you want a chance to start. You're not going to have a lower entry barrier of entry than this one.
Whoever loses,
like this guy.
Whoever loses, though, do you just cut them or
no.
Do you keep?
So you
keep both of them.
And that's
then
the challenge.
Somebody gets hurt,
and that's the challenge. Is can you convince the other guy to like? Can you convince him knowing that hey, there's a chance that you don't win this job, and you're going to be a backup? And that's why. That's the only reason why I wonder if it's not realistic. Because otherwise, if I'm the Chiefs, that I believe is their best path heading into 2025. We've all acknowledged that unless they trade up, and we'll talk to Matt Miller about this here in 10 minutes or so. We all acknowledge, unless they trade up, we don't think there's a day one left tackle in the draft for the Chiefs at 31. No. So, okay, if that's not the case, then you look to free agency. We went through the names. Ronnie Stanley, Baltimore looks like they might be retaining him. The Alaric Jackson kid re-signed with the Rams. So then you're down to like Cam Robinson. What's his name?
You're down to Cam Robinson.
Dallas Cowboys, the guy. Is it Martin or whatever his name is down there?
Tyron Smith.
Tyron Smith, thank you.
He's even older than the two guys we're talking about.
There's not great options.
Would you
do
Tyron Smith the same way you did Donovan Smith? If Tyron wants to come here and duel it out with DJ Humphreys,
absolutely.
Let's roll.
Where does that put Wanya?
He's my right tackle, or my backup
he's my
right,
backup
tackle.
Right tackle.
Okay. I didn't know if there's not, is he in his third year? I don't think he'd be a cut candidate at this point.
No, they should. No, why would they? Yeah, there's no reason to do that.
Piece.
I think if you were like asking me to truly just play out the offseason, and I don't think they would do this, I would sign DJ Humphreys, and I would just find out one way or the other, I'm having one of these guys start. DJ Humphries, Donovan Smith, and then I would also work out Juwan Taylor at left tackle in the offseason as well. And I want my damn answer. Can Juwan Taylor play left tackle? Can DJ Humphries play left tackle? And can Donovan Smith play left tackle? And then if Juwan Taylor wins the job, great. That means he's better than them. And Wanya can be my right tackle or one of these. Like, I don't
isn't
just,
this where
just
they
do
up,
as many
though?
Things possible.
Because
isn't
there
this
is
where
no
the Chiefs messed
answer.
Up? Because this is where, because Wanya could be right tackle, sure, but this is where you draft a tackle at 31. If you think Juwan is your left tackle, you draft a right tackle. And he has the talent. I think that's where it makes, to me, drafting a tackle
a
makes more
tackle
sense
at 31.
In the first Correct. Round if he's going to be your right tackle.
My issue, Drew, is
if
not...
If you want to move, that's only if Juwan moves.
Normally speaking, I have no issue with your plan. I have told you I want them to trade up, whatever, right? I am generally for that plan. The issue is that this year's draft doesn't appear to possess a right tackle in the first round. To your case, if they started Juwan Taylor and you're saying, hey, that means you got problems to tackle, even though they put him in a competition, I might draft right tackle at 31.
That's what I'm saying.
If you're saying that, then I'm not totally against that.
But I don't think they're
on my board, but I'm not like fixated with it. I'm not like forced into that decision.
They're going to know about Juwan until after the draft anyways, though, so it's a waste of time.
Yeah, that's the issue with it. You would need, I'm just saying, I would work Juwan Taylor out at left tackle in the offseason as well, just to find out.
For sure.
And look, they made their decision already, most likely, because they've never given him a single rep there, so this is more of a pipe dream for me. I understand that, but like, I would say, we are not having our left tackle be as horrific as it was last year. And that means Donovan Smith, DJ Humphries, Juwan Taylor, you're all getting reps
at
left tackle.
We have no long-term answer, so we're throwing numbers at
That's it.
Kingsley can have him too. I don't care.
Sure.
Whoever they think, and they obviously do not think he's a left tackle based on the comments, but you're all in the game. Congratulations. It's Hunger Games. Whoever wins the job, wins the job. Because I think part of it, Drew, is that what they ran into is they didn't have the numbers in season, and that became a problem quickly. Kingsley won the job, and then they tried to go back. Like, they just didn't have like the numbers at left tackle to make it work. Because then it's like, well, let's go here, and then an injury, and then it's like, well, let's bring in Humphrey. Oh God, none of this. Oh, this just isn't working, to the point that eventually you were stuck with a guard playing it. And if you get that far down the rabbit hole, you're just kind of screwed anyway.
And you're looking for average to above average left tackle play.
Serviceable, I think is what Nate called it during the season.
Yeah, that's all. Nobody's saying you need to go and have a top 5 or top 10 left tackle. That'd be nice, but that doesn't exist. It just doesn't right now. And so I'll go ahead and take the best interior offensive line in football, which we know they're going to have, and they put their money where their mouth is on that one, and with Trey Smith, whether it's a long-term deal or at least the franchise tag. And then we're going to hope that we get average play and occasionally above average play a left tackle / right tackle, and we think that's good enough. That's like, and I'm not saying like everybody should feel comfortable with that, but like that's, I think they're most likely and best outcome heading into the 2025 season. We'll talk about the left tackle draft stuff here with Matt Miller in about 7 minutes or so. You guys remember at one point in time, we had the Facebook Marketplace discussion, like, hey, when's the last time you listed?
I messed up.
Drew
big time.
Sold a couch to himself, kind of. He gave somebody money for his own couch, which is great.
His own couch.
You told us this morning that you are looking to sell something again. This sounds dangerous.
I know it sounds dangerous, but I wanted to take it to the listeners. I don't want to go onto Facebook Marketplace where you can't rely on people evidently.
So wait, you wanted to sell stuff to listeners now? You no longer sell things on secondary sites. You only sell people to
I'm gonna be honest,
on the show?
It seems like it's the most effective way. Or if you know somebody, if any of the listeners know somebody.
Right, what are you trying to sell?
So this is not anything simple. It's not a utility. No. Or it's an accessory, but it is not a common deal.
An accessory.
If you guys, in particular, if you have a PC or a PlayStation, this is going to fit for you. Sorry, all Xbox right. users. I have the, you guys know that I like racing. Mm-hmm. I've got a racing wheel that I want to sell. It's clean. It's good. Great condition. I've had it for a few years.
No one's ever said used condition. Always barely used.
Cody, I clean the wheel. Cody, I clean the wheel. I clean the racing wheel and the pedals and everything like that. It is in fully good,
serviceable. You have a shifter as well?
Condition. I do. It's paddles.
Okay.
So it's a paddle shift. Pedals come with it. I want to sell it. And price point is negotiable. I'm not going to set a price point at all.
What is a racing wheel with a paddle shifter? So and what's the brand?
So if you have it's a Logitech G29. It is
like a brand new right now, brand new on Best Buy, $217. Okay, so now that gives people an idea of what...
It's about a $250 wheel, typically, if you get it brand new. But it's a little bit cheaper now, yeah.
Okay, so that gives people an idea. So, most likely...
Make your offers to Drew.
You can reach out on Twitter, or you can also text in as
well. You're afraid to use Facebook Marketplace ever again? Just don't send somebody money.
Yeah, you can listen there. Just there's no scenario where you should have to send money for the wheel. They're buying it from you.
It's just I'm this is my first resort, and if it doesn't get sold, then I'm gonna
get to the other sites.
Yeah, then I'm gonna go to the places where I guess apparently can't utilize the site properly. I don't trust people enough now for that. But
you've been burned. But now you're hardened. Oh, now it's okay not to trust. It's Drew, it's actually good you don't trust them. That's how you should enter these online negotiations, as in this person is not trustworthy.
I think you're limiting your market, though, by not putting it on Facebook Marketplace. You got to list it on there. This is kind of a niche product, you know?
It is a very niche product. I'm going here first.
Do you not use this wheel, or are you just like, hey, it's not enough to warrant just taking the money?
Well, it's a little bit of both. You guys remember when they had the race here in the fall, there was a contest, and I ended up winning the contest where I won a different wheel. So I've had this wheel for a couple years.
You got a better
now.
One.
One that I'm going to use more of. So this one is, again, in good condition. I've used it for the last 2 or 3 years. It's great. If you have a PlayStation or a PC, you got iRacing, any sort of simulator game.
A lot of people saying $1 Bob. Two people are $1. We got $1.
$1.
Higher Bob. No, it's not Card Shark. Sorry. A dollar's not going to cut it. But
you got to $1 so far.
Someone did say accessory from the Blue Chew guy. They didn't know what direction you were heading in before you started talking about the steering wheel.
I wanted to phrase it that way to make it, it could be anything. But
all right. Current bid's $1.
Current bid's $1.
We have 4 hours to sell this thing. 3.5 left.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see how much higher we can go, I suppose.
All right, up next, we'll talk some NFL draft. Matt Miller from ESPN, their draft analyst and insider, tells us if there is enough talent at tackle in this draft for the Chiefs. Well, the Kansas Lottery is throwing heaters with the fiery Hot Sevens contest in celebration of the Boys in Blue return to spring training. Be listening every day at 10:30, right around now, here on Cody and Gold, and you could win a $30 instant scratch ticket from the Kansas Lottery. Just be the seventh caller to 913-586-7965. That's 913-586-7965. And plus, one grand prize winner will win an autographed Bobby Witt Jr. jersey plus framing, all thanks to our friends at the Kansas Lottery. But we were talking a little bit about the left tackle situation in Kansas City, and the draft, of course, could prove to be a solution. We'll find out from someone, though, that was in Indianapolis whether or not that solution does exist in this year's draft class, plus plenty more, including some of the local prospects, as Matt Miller, ESPN draft analyst and insider, joins us here on Cody and Gold. Matt, it's good to have you on the show. You're a Royals guy, too, if I'm not mistaken, right? You're from the Joplin area.
Huge Royals guy. I tell people I'm more of a Royals fan than I am a football fan, I think. It's a nice break, right? Like, and it lines up with my schedule. So, yeah, very excited about the news this morning that we can get a Z-man in right field.
I think it's because, like, you get to be a fan of it is some of it, Matt, right? When you're closer to it, it's harder to be a fan of it. By the way, our guy Sam Mellinger's in, I think, to maybe talk about that sandwich. So he wants to say hi.
Yeah, he says hello.
Oh, Sam's my guy. I love him. I can't wait to see him in about 3 weeks. I'm very excited. I could take up my entire segment with you guys talking about Royals baseball and my love for the Z-Man, but I know you probably want to talk about football. So
but
we'll do that next time.
A little. Next time.
Now I want one. That's the problem. Now I want a Z-Man, and I'm like, I have time today. I could make it up there back. So,
well, for your sake, I hope you get it. For the draft's sake, let's talk a little bit of the Chiefs. Let's make the easy conversation first, because there's some other national stuff I'm interested in as well. Is there a single left tackle you think the Chiefs would actually draft, knowing some of their stipulations to do it? And just generally speaking, like, how many first-round left tackles do you think there are?
Yeah, I think they could do it. Now, that's a great question. How many are there? I think there are five, potentially. But the thing with this year is I'm going to rip off this list of names. Every one of these players, except for one, teams have talked about moving to guard. So you have Kelvin Banks from Texas, who I think is a tackle. Will Campbell from LSU came in with very short arms. He's probably going to get moved. You have Membo, our guy from Mizzou, but he's a right tackle. He's never played left tackle. Josh Connerly from Oregon, left tackle, but he might be a guard. And then Josh Simmons from Ohio State, left tackle through and through, but he's coming off a torn patella tendon that happened in October. So his return is like, he said he's going to be cleared mid-April. I'm skeptical of that. I hope that's the case. But those five guys, I think, are true round one tackles.
When you look at what the Chiefs, like, I know we talk a lot about here because, like, the arm length thing. How big of a deal do you think the franchises that care about that make it, you know?
They make it a huge deal. They really do. And, you know, I get the tweets from people who are like, I can't believe you care about this stuff. It's like, I care about it because NFL teams do. And if you're a tackle who has 32-inch arms, well, there's just not a precedent for that, really. And I know you, like, you'll get folks who are like, oh, well, like, it doesn't actually matter. Kind of does. Like, there's never been a tackle drafted with under 32-inch arms since 1999. And even if you look at the guys who are under, like, 32.5, it's like Peter Skoronski, but he's playing guard. Alaric Jackson with the Rams, who just got locked up. He was going to be a free agent. He had 32.5. Like, it's a pretty short list when you get under 33 of guys, especially at left tackle, who've had success. So I look at metrics as, like, what can help me do my job better? If there's you know, a number out there that says, hey, this is our, you got to be this tall to ride the ride, if that's 33.
All right, it looks like we lost Matt Miller there. Drew, we're going to reconnect. I know you're working on the phones there with the contest. Let's try to see if we can make sure Matt Miller's good to go as we dropped him in the middle of that. We're talking to Matt Miller, ESPN draft analyst and insider, about not only left tackle, but just how much does it matter? You know, some of the things we've always heard, measurables, and it sounds like a great deal, right? Like that he was saying, no, the teams that care, the reason why everybody mentions arm length, and you're like, why is this numbers always being tweeted out on my timeline? It's because they know teams actually do have benchmarks basically within that. So we'll get reconnected with Matt Miller and talk more about that. I was going to ask about Nick Bolton and, like, hey, if they have to find a replacement, how feasible is that in this year's draft? We've talked about some of the mocks that have him taking a linebacker in round four.
You know, Matt, I was on Matt Verderam's podcast yesterday as we, again, get Matt Miller back on. I was on his podcast, and he made a fun suggestion for me on that. Maybe we can talk about it later.
Yeah, let's welcome Matt Miller back in. Sorry about that, Matt. Great to have you on the show. I was going to ask you about Nick Bolton. If they have to get a replacement for him and they do not bring him back through free agency, how realistic is a position like linebacker where they've had some success drafting to maybe find his replacement?
Yeah, guys, I do think it's possible. I think the other thing that makes you feel good is, like, you've got some guys on the roster that have filled in at times.
All right, we're obviously having some phone issues. I don't know if that's on our end. That's unfortunate there. I don't know what's going on with that. So we're having some clear issues with the phone.
Drew, is it doing it on its own?
All right. I don't know what's going on, Matt. Apologies,
if
man.
If we hang up again, we promise we'll let you be free and clear, and you can just start making that drive for the Z-Man.
I'll just come do it in.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
I'll be there in an hour and a half. Okay? Yeah. So linebacker, I do think at linebacker, you can find your Nick Bolton replacement, but it doesn't have to be a first-round pick, especially for the way the NFL is going with this. Like, those thumpers like Nick Bolton, you don't see a lot of them anymore. You know, everybody's going to kind of this rangier linebacker. I think Barrett Carter from Clemson in round three, Chris Paul from Ole Miss round four, Danny Stutzman from OU. Like, I would love him in this defense. He's going to be a round three, round four guy. So, yeah, you can absolutely find a suitable replacement, and it doesn't have to be a top 64 pick.
I think what's happened here locally is fans have officially started they're convinced Luther Burden is falling to 31. The Chiefs are going to take him. They're going to pair up Rice Worthy and Luther Burden together. They're already concocting this plan in which this makes sense. I've seen 10 or 15 mocks that seemingly have him falling out of the first round. Do you think that's going to happen?
No, I think those people are all crazy. I don't know what they're watching. And I say that jokingly because I work with two guys who've done that recently, and I love them. But I don't see it happening. And maybe I'm crazy. I actually think we should draft guys who are good at playing football. And for the past 3 years, that's been Luther Burden. And then everybody's like, oh, well, we don't know how fast he is. So what does he do? He goes to the combine and he reminds you how fast he is. And it's like, okay, I know that he's kind of an introvert. He's kind of a quiet guy. That kind of maybe rubs some people the wrong way. But, like, this dude's 21 years old and he's been dominant every time you've given him the football. He has NFL size. He's 6 foot, 206 pounds. He ran a 4.41. He did the position drills, unlike a lot of the other receivers. I don't get it. I have no idea. I've talked to Coach Drinkwitz about it. They're like, neither of us can figure it out. So I'm led to believe it's just, I don't know. I don't know if people just have only watched a handful of games from 2024 and that's who they think he is. But I think he's the best receiver in the draft. So if he's there at 31, it's the easiest decision in football.
So, Matt, what range then? For you, it sounds like you think much earlier than 31. Is he in that 15 to 20 range?
Yeah, I think, you know, San Francisco is – they traded Deebo Samuel. They might trade Brandon Ayuk. I think that's where you start the conversation is at 11. And then 12, Dallas. Dallas needs somebody like him badly. Miami, we have no idea how much longer Tyreek's going to play. I think all those teams, you can make a case. Cincinnati might lose T. Higgins in a sign-in trade. Could you imagine Luther Burton? Never mind. Chiefs fans don't want to think about that. Luther Burton off
no,
Jamar Chase? Come on. I mean, they'd still lose in the playoffs, but it'd be a lot of fun. So I love the idea that he's there at 31. I don't necessarily think it's a need. Like, as much as I love Luther and think he would thrive in this offense, you know, that's kind of the Rashee Rice role, and we'll see. I think investing that much in a wide receiver position when your offensive line is terrible would be like, that's the definition of luxury. If you're drafting receivers in back-to-back first rounds and three in the top 60 in the past 3 years when your left tackle is terrible, I don't know that I could get on board with that necessarily.
On the national end, just out of curiosity, is there a team that's going to let Travis Hunter play both wide receiver and corner?
I think there's teams that'll try it at least. I think you have to let him fail at it almost. And maybe he doesn't, you know, maybe he figures it out, and how to do it mentally is the hard part. I think physically he'll probably be okay, but I can see someone like the Giants or the Patriots who are just bad, you know, or the Jaguars being like, you know, we're bad. Let's try it and see, you know, worst case scenario, we sell some tickets, but let's at least get him out there and see what he can do. Travis is amazing. Like, 4.0 student, loves football. Like, I think from a love of the game standpoint, he wants to do it. Now, let's talk about him, like, saying what he does is harder than Ohtani, I think is wild. There's no way I can get on board with that. But Travis is awesome, and if he wants to try it, I do hope the teams give him that opportunity.
We're talking to Matt Miller, ESPN draft analyst and insider here on 96.5 The Fan. The combine, you've been, I don't know how many of these you've gone to at this point in time, but more and more of these athletes, especially the high-profile ones, are deciding either not to throw up pro day, maybe only do the interview process. Is that just where this whole thing is going? Like, do you think 10 years from now, the combine is still going to be what we know as the combine today?
Man, I think I've been to 14. I need to probably count that at some point. I've been to a lot, and it has changed a lot. I do think it's unfortunate because from an evaluator standpoint, like, forget the fact that I work for ESPN, like, just from somebody who wants to know which of these players is good at what they do, I wish they had to work out. So it is, I feel like the NFL, the NFLPA, and the agent need to sit down and talk and say, okay, like, we understand, like, your guys need to opt out of some things, but how can we incentivize getting everybody to do a 3-cone or a 40 or like whatever it might be. But at the end of the day, the combine matters for medicals and interviews. And, you know, Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders were still doing that stuff. Marvin Harrison Jr. still did that stuff last year, even though he didn't do anything else. So we'll see. I think for it to change, there would almost have to be backlash from teams. And teams just need good players so badly that, like we saw last year with Marvin, he didn't do anything at all in the process. And he still went fourth overall. So there would have to be a legit situation where you could point to a guy and say, you know, like a wide receiver, Tetero McMillan, nothing at the combine, Luther Burden, everything at the combine. That's why Luther goes ahead of him. I think it would have to be a situation like that across multiple positions where you would then incentivize agents. Like, it's really the agents. It's not the players who are like, no, I don't want to do this. It's the agent saying, you have nothing to gain by performing at the combine. Let's shut you down. And we'll just wait till a pro day or just wait to see what happens in the draft.
Matt Miller, ESPN draft analyst and insider. Man, I got to let you go. You know, you joked at the beginning. I swear when we brought you on, you said, hey, I saw the Royals news about the Z-Man sandwiches. Well, we actually have to let you go because I think some sandwiches are actually in the studio right now. So that actually just happened.
I've never been more jealous. So, you guys enjoy. I'm going to sit here and think about how good that would be for lunch today.
As you said, for you, it's only like a 90-minute drive, right, from Joplin. So,
right. I'm thinking about it now. Yeah, you may see tweets of me and KC today. We'll see what happens.
I love it. There you go. Matt Miller, kind enough to join us today from ESPN, our draft analyst and insider. Good perspective on him. We'll get back into some of the things he said about left tackle.
Yeah.
He actually says there's five. Now, a lot of them might convert to guard, so we'll see. We'll
concerning
get back to that.
Number that he said that teams have talked about converting to guard, yeah. And one that is a straight right tackle, obviously, in Membo from Missouri. So then you'd be just drafting a guy in Juwan Taylor. It's fine. It's complicated, but we'll get back to it.
But I'm not kidding. Now, you couldn't have seen it on the video stream. We don't have the cameras turned over that direction. But as we were talking to Matt Miller, we just had the kind folks from Joe's KC. We also had some representatives of the Royals walk in with some Z-Man sandwiches. I know I can't eat those in the middle of the segment unless you want to just talk, Cody, and then I'll just go ahead and scarf one down.
Take a couple of bites at least.
But you guys saw the awesome news earlier today. Z-Man's coming to the K.
Yeah, I saw. Same thing, right field. They're going to serve him out there. I think you had pointed out to me that they did it the current. So, look, I'm not anti-Z-Man sandwich. I'm obviously very pro. I still think the burnt-in Z-Man might be the world's perfect sandwich for what it's worth. You can get that on, like, Wednesdays. I think it's Wednesdays. Don't hold me to that. But it's a great sandwich. We're excited it's going to be at the K, and you guys have happily joined us to discuss it. So let's talk a little bit about how this partnership came to be. I think people constantly are asking for local Kansas City barbecue at the stadium. How did the Royals come to this partnership, right?
Yeah, well, thanks for having us. Yeah, I mean, we've been focused on getting more local concepts and local food into the K. So last year we brought in Buffalo State Pizza. We've been looking at some other concepts. But really, for this local community, nothing speaks more to it than barbecue. And so we started exploring opportunities. We started looking at options. And you know, we landed on a great partnership with Joe's, which we're super excited to announce today. The Z-Man is coming to the K. It'll be available in chicken and beef brisket with onion rings, all for $20. So it's a great deal.
Okay, so it's a little bit of everything, right? So chicken or beef, I get my choice?
Correct.
Okay. Which part of right field specifically, so I can plan on getting out
there? Yeah, absolutely.
Know?
So there's an area right beyond gate E. So those fans that are coming in, you know, in a rush that want to just go get their Z-Man, you just go right into gate E, go to right field. It's behind the Rivals bar for a lot of fans. May understand that. It's connected to the outfield experience, so it's integrated in that. It's in a back area that has some picnic tables, so there's opportunity for families to sit down and eat. There's some social areas for anybody that wants to socialize, have a beer, just hang out, watch the game on a TV, and just talk in a quieter space. But it is in that right field area, right behind Rivals next to gate E.
Okay. And for Joe's, just to be able to be part of this brand and to be part of the Royals and the success they're having right now, how excited are you guys?
We've been working on this for 6 months or so, probably. So, I mean, when we started talking, it was very fun because the Royals were, you know, shooting for the playoffs and ultimately ended up getting there. So the magic was alive. And I even got out to the stadium for a couple games during the postseason run just to kind of see where we were talking about being and feel the energy of the place. And we're very excited because it allows us to showcase our brand a little bit more without, you know, building massive restaurants like we have already and grow a little bit without doing too much, you know, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, we were going to give our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, a hard time later and find out how many trips from the press
box. What's the over-under, you know?
How many Z-Man sandwiches for him throughout
we'll
the season.
We'll get him hooked up, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you got to bring him up to the press box just once. They'll be the happiest people on the planet. Media people love free food. It's
I've learned that. We always take care of our media friends, so don't worry.
Yeah, but like, it's like for Joe's, it's like, you know, you don't have to be like, what took so long? But like, it does, like, sometimes like it's the local stuff. People, like at stadiums, that didn't exist for a really long time. You just like, you got what you got. And like, you didn't know I don't even know the brand of whatever I'm eating. I'm just eating whatever food you serve. I think it's nice to have local brands incorporated, especially with like you guys did the stuff with Boulevard. We've done stuff with now Joe's. It's nice to see some of the local places. That's all.
I mean, like I said earlier, this has been a focus for us as an organization, right? I mean, obviously everybody's coming to watch the game and that is central to everything, but the fan experience is enhanced, especially in baseball with the food and beverage experience. So you mentioned Boulevard. They're a great partner of ours. We have Palacana for some Mexican food. We have Andy's frozen custard. We've got a lot of local brands, but really having Joe's as part of that is going to be take it to the next level and create that barbecue experience that people come not only from the local community, but also even visiting fans want to find barbecue. We get that. That's a big question from visiting fans. And now we can just send them right out to right field and get Joe's.
You know, that's the great one. But they're like, that is maybe the first question I think any of us could ask for somebody who's coming in town. It's like, which barbecue place should I go to? And it's a hard thing to answer because you're like, I don't know. You want me to list like, there's some great places, right? we can do it. But if you can get it at the K, it makes it a little bit easier. If like, well, go to a baseball game. Yeah. You can just get a Z-Man there. And that's, I guess I view this, and I'm guessing you guys do too. You chose the Z-Man because it is your signature sandwich. I mean, it's the one, if you say, I got a sandwich at Joe's, people assume you got a Z-Man.
Mm-hmm. It's our best seller by far. Obviously, it's been around the longest. You know, we get some, shall we say, pushback for why aren't we doing the Rocket Pig? That sounds great. And it's like, well,
I love that sandwich too.
It's fantastic. But. And it's one of my favorite sandwiches. And I had a hand in creating it. But it also, when we created that one at the time, we had to bring in about 5 different new ingredients. And so trying to streamline something from a logistics standpoint away from the core of our business makes a lot of sense. And the Z-Man is one of those things that we've made in festival parking lots, you know, in Chicago and Denver and St. Louis. And as long as the infrastructure's there, which the Royals have provided fantastic infrastructure for us to be able to do what we want to do out there, it's a pretty seamless operation.
I think, and to honor this, that we should have the Royals VP of media. I think we should make Sam Ellinger do like the 9-inning 9 challenge. Set of 9 hot dogs, 9 Z-Mans, 9 beers. He can just take the day off. It's fine. 9-9. We try to get him through 9 innings.
Oof. Yeah.
What's the most Z-Mans you've seen eaten in a single setting? Probably not 9.
I've heard of somebody taking down 2. And that's
it?
Blows my mind. I mean, that's a substantial amount of food.
It's a good size sandwich.
And Jason, starting on opening day, this will be all
starting
season
on opening
long.
Day. Yeah, I mean, along with everything that you'll see in the ballpark that's new, which we'll be uncovering in a few weeks. But yeah, this will be available right from opening day. Every day, every game, even on Sundays as well. I think that's been a question I've seen online as well. So I just want to address that. So it'll be all 81 home games.
So I think one of the first texts we saw under like the tweet about it was, even on Sunday? Like, yep. They're just trying to, you know, like, can I get it on a Sunday?
Yep.
Good.
Yep.
At least now you know an extra place to get a Z-Man on a Sunday. That's great news.
Well, thanks for coming in studio, guys. You brought some gifts, too, so I appreciate that.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to have to eat that immediately, aren't you?
We got 5 minutes during a break, and I'll see how quickly we can down the Z-Man.
Oh, you can do it, too, I bet.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's
it's close to lunchtime. It'll be fine.
You guys are in radio. You're used to eating fast. That's, like us in the restaurant business, so we don't get to sit down.
Yeah, exactly.
You eat standing up, and then you just kind of move to the next thing as fast as possible.
Absolutely.
Appreciate you guys coming in studio. Again, members from Joe's KC, the Z-Man, going to be at Kauffman Stadium this season. Also, Royal Chief Operating Officer Jason Sinaraja, kind enough to join us in studio as well to talk about this exciting news. And coming up next, we're going to react a little bit more to what Matt Miller had to say to us about the draft, including maybe there are some more options at left tackle than we realize. That's coming up next on 96.5 The Fan.